The conflict over the Strait of Hormuz is sparking some interesting cooperation. Our correspondent, Taylor Luck, is fresh off a trip to Saudi Arabia. He writes about how Arab countries are working together to forge a new regional economic model. We also have an editorial today that looks at efforts in Asia to ease the impact of high energy prices. Singapore's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Vivian Balakrishnan, puts it this way. We must not compete against each other, but instead support each other mutually. And from our magazine, we offer another example of cooperation. Fired USAID staffers are working to connect programs cut off from funding with new funders. In a year, they have funneled $110 million to almost 80 projects across dozens of countries. It's Thursday, April 16th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. 11 finance ministers issued a joint statement on the Middle East. Representatives from the United Kingdom, Australia, Japan, Sweden, the Netherlands, Finland, Spain, Norway, the Republic of Ireland, Poland, and New Zealand committed to managing the economic fallout from the crisis in a coordinated, responsible, and responsive way. Calling for a swift resolution to the conflict and resumption of free passage through the Strait of Hormuz, the ministers also invited the International Monetary Fund and World Bank to offer emergency support to vulnerable countries, such as remote island states, impacted by the disruption to energy prices, supply chains, and economic growth. Defying U.S. sanctions, a Russian tanker is heading to India. The vessel is carrying liquefied natural gas from a Russian terminal that is under sanctions, Reuters reported. President Donald Trump lowered tariff rates on India to 18% in February. But that reduction was contingent upon the nation halting energy purchases from Russia. The United States temporarily allowed those sales to resume in March. That waiver expired on April 11th. On Wednesday, the Kremlin announced that President Vladimir Putin will fly to India for a fall summit of BRICS countries. Also, France is moving toward restitution of African artifacts. The National Assembly unanimously approved a bill to return artworks taken during the colonial era. The move, which aligns with President Emmanuel Macron's 2017 pledge for temporary or definitive restitution of African heritage in Africa, allows countries to formally request the return of cultural items taken between 1815 and 1972. France still holds tens of thousands of such artifacts, according to France 24. Lawmakers say it is a step toward addressing past exploitation during the country's colonial period. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Iran's missile attacks and its closing of the Strait of Hormuz have cost the oil-producing Gulf Arab states untold billions. In response, they are moving to arm themselves against a military threat that hasn't been erased and construct workarounds to the Hormuz choke point. Taylor Luck reports from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and Amman, Jordan, for The Monitor. President Donald Trump's broadsides against the Pope, alongside controversial memes, reveal cracks in his support from religious conservatives. That discontent is amplified by some policy disappointments, particularly around abortion. Linda Feldman and Sophie Hills report from Washington for The Monitor. When the U.S. Agency for International Development shut down, the projects it funded were left in limbo. Project resource optimization matches as many as it can with new donors. Contributor Ogar Monday reports from Abuja, Nigeria, for The Monitor. Rising gun ownership among Democrats is reshaping U.S. gun culture and recalibrating the debate between gun rights, civic safety, and government control, even as Republicans remain 1.5 times more likely to own firearms. Patrick Johnson reports from Rome, Georgia, for The Monitor. Dhaka is the beating heart of Bangladesh's textile industry. But beyond the capital, rural weavers are bridging a traditional craft with modern markets, often with a focus on sustainability. Simon Motlake reports from Bishrampur, Bangladesh, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on high-minded help for nations low on fuel. Japan, like much of Asia, which is highly reliant on Middle East oil and gas, announced Wednesday that it will provide $10 billion to many of its regional trade partners to find new supplies during the Strait of Hormuz crisis. As Prime Minister Takeuchi Sanai put it, Asian countries are mutually dependent. Much of that money will go to Southeast Asia, where nations have reacted to the crisis by trying to revive a long-standing regional agreement to aid each other during a petroleum emergency. What this crisis has confirmed is a structural truth. No single country in Asia can insulate itself from supply chain shocks of this scale by acting alone, said Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. At the very least, many Asian countries hope not to restrict their exports of oil-related products to each other, a restriction China has already done. Singapore and Australia, for example, struck a deal last week to maintain their energy interdependence during the crisis. Australia is Singapore's second biggest supplier of liquefied natural gas, while Singapore is Australia's largest supplier of refined fuel. We do not plan to restrict exports. We didn't have to do so even in the darkest days of COVID, and we will not do so during this energy crisis, said Singaporean Prime Minister Lawrence Wong. In times like these, he added, we must work closely, move faster, and stand together, not just to manage the risks, but to protect the well-being of our people. In Europe, meanwhile, which is far less dependent on Gulf oil and more experienced in energy cooperation, officials of the European Union have warned member states not to ban the export of fuel across their borders. During the continent's last energy crisis, following the 2022 Russian invasion of Ukraine, the EU quickly reduced its dependency on Russian gas and oil. The current crisis has also led the continent to assist many Middle East countries at risk. Last week, the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, originally set up to assist Central and Eastern Europe after the Cold War, announced 5 billion euros, or $5.9 billion, in investments for nations such as Iraq, Jordan, and Lebanon to deal with the repercussions of the oil crisis. All these efforts reflect lessons learned from past energy shortages. We must not panic. We must work together, said Vivian Balakrishnan, Singapore's Minister of Foreign Affairs, on April 13th. We must not compete against each other, but instead support each other mutually. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitored.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how reconciling our thoughts and actions to God's reforming, redeeming love contributes to unity and progress that bless all. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas and Tim Malone.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.